And joining me is Chad Hart of Iowa State University.
I guess let's start with where the conversation left off. It was, we were talking that acreage mix, and obviously many factors will help influence that. Weather, of course, as well as these trade and tariff discussions. But we're talking the acreage mix, and from your perspective, what are we seeing next year for the Big Three?
Well, the idea is, as we're looking here right now, I mean, almost everybody's in agreement. Soybean area has got to come down, given the trade dispute. We just don't have the room for this many acres of soybeans. The question is, how big is that cut going to be? And then, if you will, how are corn and wheat going to share that? As you're looking right now, arguably corn has the strongest sort of portfolio looking out. So it's likely corn will take up most of the increase, but it's going to be both corn and wheat seeing increased acreage as we look into 19.
Well, and they brought up a good point, the crowd did, as well as you guys talking about, you know, we might see that wheat adjustment in the spring wheat in particular, correct?
Yeah, because in this case, winter wheat, we would have already had to make that move. Given the delayed harvest across a lot of the U.S., it just didn't give farmers time on the winter wheat side to make that shift. And so, yeah, the burden here will be on spring wheat as we look forward.
Yeah, most definitely. Of course, the million-dollar question in the room was China. Will we get something resolved or not? Mixed reviews from the crowd, but right now it's not looking very hopeful, is it?
It does not look very hopeful. I mean, I think when you're looking here, you're talking about the two largest economies in the world. They have vastly different approaches to where they, you know, approach, if you will, economic problems. And, you know, the idea is we're still just in the talking stage. Nothing's written down, and so it's hard to get to a firm trade agreement with nothing on paper.
Well, and that was the biggest point. You know, the crowd was asking, well, why did the USMCA get, you know, resolved so fast? Well, there was a lot of background work on that, correct?
Oh, there was, definitely. I mean, the idea is that, you know, especially for USMCA, the old NAFTA, the idea is we're always in constant discussions with Mexico and Canada as to how to proceed. We had NAFTA, so we already had a written document to work off of. We had been involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and so we had new ideas of what we were going to bring into that paper. And so, if you will, 90% of it was already written before we started the negotiation.
Yep, and of course we're keeping our eyes on that G20 summit, but right now we're not thinking probably much is going to come from it.
We're not, and the idea here is when you look, it's sort of this, oh, let's call it one step forward, one step back approach. When we look at the upper levels, when we see President Trump's tweets, they tend to be rather negative when it comes to the relationship with China. When we talk to the trade representatives and, you know, the Treasury Secretary, there's a more positive tone there, and so it seems to be, like I say, this back and forth that really, at the end of the day, takes us nowhere.
Yep. And I guess one final point of discussion we had today was obviously basis, the levels up here really being impacted, and the transportation method. Even if we did get something resolved with China, it takes time no matter where you are in the Midwest, correct?
It definitely takes time when you're looking here, because the idea is it's not only lining up those shipments, getting the rail lines in place, getting the ocean freight in place, but you're also talking about those exporters and importers have to be willing to make the move, assuming that there's no additional tariffs or no additional changes as you look out there. And so it literally takes months, if you will, for trade patterns to shift given a change in tariffs. And so I think a lot of folks are in the let's wait and see approach. Let's see if we can get some movement, some positive news towards China, because what we have found is that soybean futures definitely react anytime there's something positive there.
Again, we've been talking with Iowa State University ag economist Chad Hart.